Hi, thank you for tuning in to Table Scraps on Table Talk Radio. This is Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, and I am on the line with Chris Tomlin. He's been called the premier songwriter in the modern church's praise and worship music. 4 out of the top 12 CCLI songs are his songs, including the number one hit, How Great Is Our God. And if we do the math right, his songs are sung by more people on Sunday morning than by anyone else in the world. He has a new album out titled Hello Love, and he's from Austin, Texas, right down the street from Kerrville, Texas, my own hometown. Chris, welcome to Table Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let's start it out by asking this question. What makes a good praise and worship song?
Ah, wow. You know, for me, worship, what I've come to understand that worship to God is our response to Him. It's the way we respond to Him for who He is, for His greatness, and for what He has done in our lives. It's to me a great worship song. Is something that is a true response. I think it comes just out of a real authentic place, a real humble place, a place of awe, a place of gratitude, a place of deep love for God. I think when that's your starting point, it's a response of, just for His greatness and His grace in our life. That's a good starting place for a worship.
Well, that's great. And, I mean, that I actually wanted to get to that question, but you went right to it, and that is the question of what is worship. And I think, did you, Chris, say that our worship then is an authentic response to the greatness of God and the things that He's done for us?
Yeah, I would say that, and I would say worship is it's a big word, and it has a lot of meaning in that one simple word. But I think when you boil it down, it is our response to God for who He is and what He's done.
Yeah, this is a good. And I'll just let you go with it for a little bit. But could you just speak a little bit about the things that God has done, and that our worship is a response to?
Well, I mean, I think primarily we worship God for who He is, whether He does another thing for us or not. He's already sent His Son for us. And
I think I read and looked over a few of the lyrics of your songs and noticed that the greatness of God is one of the big themes. In fact, the number one song, How Great Is Our God, it has that repeated theme, the greatness of God. What about that greatness? Where do we personally see that greatness of God?
I think the greatness of God is evident in creation. To me, I see so much of just that when you consider the heavens and the earth, like David said, when you consider the heavens and the earth, and what is man that He is mindful of me, that God would breathe out, that He could breathe out all that we see, that He could speak it, and it would be. That's just a glimpse of the greatness. When you get a glimpse of just how massive creation is, and you see that and the Bible says that He holds it in His hand. That's great.
Oh, that's good. How then for worship and for praise music? How does the role of a worship leader or a praise song leader, which is I think your vocation that you have, how does that fit into the worship of God? In other words, when you're up there leading worship, what's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? What are you trying to do?
That's a great question. You know, I want to several things I want to do. I think a major role is to be have presence, yet not a performance. And since you have presence because you're a leader, and there are people that, you know, that are appointed leaders at different times, and you are the leader for that moment, but it's not about you performing. It's about you having a presence for the people to draw the people together, to lead them to God. You're not leading them to yourself. You draw them together, but you lead them to God, and that's where humility comes in. So I think it's presence and humility. It's the presence to draw people together, but the humility to back out of the way, kind of go out the back door, if you will, and make God as big as you can. Make His name, His fame, His greatness, His grace the center point, and let people focus on that. And so I try to write songs in that way, that point people that way lyrically and all those things.
No, that reminds me of what John the Baptist said about Jesus when he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And it seems like that's the worship leader has to have this humility there as well. Chris, with this discussion of the presence of God, how do you know, when you say to lead someone into the presence of God, how do you know when you've arrived in the presence of God? I mean, what indicates that to you?
You know, that's a mystery. There's a mystery to it. You just try it. First of all, that the Holy Spirit is with us, is in us, the presence of God, we carry that in the, as the scripture says, in these earthly bodies. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was part of the Godhead, three in one, the Holy Spirit. I mean, not like some like step brother of the Trinity, but part of God is in us through the Holy Spirit as we know Jesus. And that so there is that part of the presence of God when we're all together that is there with us. But it's a sense of you know, it's a phrase that is interesting that God inhabits the praises of his people. You've heard that?
And yeah, that's sure, really, from the Psalms.
That scripture is not really said that way in the Bible. I mean, it comes from Psalm 22, but it says God sits enthroned upon the faces of Israel. And that is an interesting verse. And I think that's interesting that when we praise him, when we praise God, that he is, that we build his throne. That's what Psalm 22 is saying. We build the throne of God when we praise him. And he sits upon that throne. He sits upon the praises of his people. And I think that's a little bit of a way of saying that the people to the presence of God, when we gather to praise him, there's something unique about it. It's hard to explain, but I know when I'm standing in that moment, you just know it because it's something unique that you can't do anything else. There's nothing else in the world that does that. You can't get together and just sing a country song or a pop song or sing any kind of song that you sense that. But when you sing a worship song to God, when you really focus your heart and your attention upon who he is, and you're doing that with people, there's something powerful about it and very unique to our faith.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too. I'm glad you brought it up. When you're not singing a country song or rock and roll song or something like this, I know a lot of people of contemporary Christian music will criticize it for being rock and roll, but it seems to me like it's a completely, like it has its own genre. Do you consider yourself that you're up there playing rock and roll, or do you agree with me that praise and worship music has its own unique kind of genre and feel to it among all the different musical styles?
It does kind of have a genre a little bit, but, you know, different people play different things. And I think it's just, you know, I think it's more of just playing the music that is kind of modern to the time. And playing a style that is modern to the time, you know. That wasn't, 100 years ago, they didn't have electric guitars. And there weren't amps. There wasn't a lot of amplification and sound systems and mics for drums, and didn't have the drum set like it is today. I mean, times have changed, and we're just playing music that is modern to the time. And so that's the only way I really approach it.
Sure. I was thinking about this a little bit when I was getting ready for this interview, Chris, looking at your songs and number one hits, and this, it's kind of a stunning thing that to think that the songs that you write are sung in worship, probably by more than any other author or musician in the entire world, that these songs are yours and they are in the mouths of the Lord's people. And the old church, the ancient church, had a saying, lex credendi, lex orendi, which is or the other way around, lex orendi, lex credendi, which is the rule of prayer is the rule of faith. It basically means what we pray and what we do in the worship on Sunday morning affects how we believe. And I was thinking about that, and if that is true, I think that would make you perhaps the most influential theologian in the United States, if not in the entire world, which is quite a thing to say.
Man, I don't want that title at all.
you might have it anyways. I wanted to talk then. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
There's something powerful about songs. You know, it just gets in you. It puts the words to, when you sing it, it puts it in the memory very fast. And that's why I'm so careful when I'm writing songs. that are theologically sound, that, I don't just, this isn't just my opinion that I'm thinking about. These are coming to, all these songs are coming straight from Scripture. I have lots of friends, I have lots of circles of friends who know more than me, who I make check these lyrics with, because I want to carry that responsibility well. I want to teach people very well about the song.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's one of the most important things to me too, is that all the things that we say and all the things that we do, all the things that we sing, hold forth the Lord's truth in clarity and don't have anything. And so, I mean, that's great to hear, you know, the responsibility that you take. I wanted to talk, though, just a little bit perhaps about your theology. One of the things that we talk about in theology is a material principle. Evan, who's on the line, is listening, is taking notes for his seminary classes, but the material principle is kind of the center of someone's theology. So we can say, like, the material principle of Calvinism is the sovereign God who has given eternal election. The material principle of a lot of kind of pop TV preachers is that if we have strong enough faith, we can be healthy and wealthy and this sort of thing. The material principle of Lutheran theology, which is what I'm a Lutheran pastor, is that we are justified or declared to be forgiven and holy by faith alone through Christ's death on the cross. So I was going to ask, if you could give us your material principle, what would Chris Tomlin's material principle be?
I would say that I would really align myself with what you just said, in the sense of that Jesus has done it all, that he paid the price. We don't. It's not work. I can't do enough things to please God. He made a way for us in that way, and He's taken it all upon itself, and that is why that just causes me to bring worship to Him because of what He has done and what God has done through Him. And so I would say I would really align myself with what you just said about I'm justified and made right with God through faith.
This could be breaking news that Chris Tomlin is a Lutheran, so that's great to hear. Hey, we like to play a game on Table Talk Radio. It's kind of a theological game show that we have. If you're game, you want to try a game, I'll explain the rules to you if you like to play. Does that sound all right, Chris?
I'm down.
All right, the game is called Contemporary or Traditional. And the way it works is we give put forth a hymn and read the first stanza or something like this, and then we have to determine if the hymn or the song is contemporary or traditional. And the way that we make that determination is that if it was written before or after 1750. So if it's written before 1750, we say it's traditional. After 1750, we say that's a contemporary hymn. We picked 1750 because, first of all, it just sounds kind of obnoxious to say a hymn written in 1800 is contemporary. But also, that's the kind of the mark of the shift from the more traditional objective hymns to in the age of Romanticism, a little bit more kind of subjective and emotional hymns. So that's the way the game goes. So what I'll do, Chris, is I'll give you the title of a hymn and the first stanza. I picked slightly obscure ones so that we have to work with the words to try to figure out when it was written. Sound all right? You ready?
Yeah, I don't know how good I'm going to do, but let's go.
No problem. When Evan's playing, I don't know if he ever gets these right, so that's part of the fun. The hymn is called Salvation Unto Us Has Come, and here's the first line, the first stanza. Salvation unto us has come, by God's free grace and favor, good works cannot avert our doom, they help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone, He is our one Redeemer.
I would say that is contemporary.
Contemporary? Hey, that's a good guess. What, you want to guess what, when you think that was written?
I would say mid-1800s.
This actually is it's one of these Banner Lutheran hymns. That's why it probably is unfamiliar. It was written by Paul Sparatus, and it was published, I believe, in the year 1524. It was one of the first Lutheran hymnals, I think, there was 8 hymns, 4 of Luther's, and a couple Sparatus hymns, so that was a not contemporary. That's right. I'm going to give you another chance, Chris.
Okay.
You're going to get a consolation prize anyways, but...
Okay, thanks.
All right, here's another one. This is called, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth. Here's the... I'll give you the third stanza. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Thou camest to our hall of death, O Christ, to breathe our poisoned air, to drink for us the dark despair that strangled our reluctant breath. How beautiful the feet that trod the road that leads us back to God. How beautiful the feet that ran to bring the great good news to man.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go with contemporary again.
That's good. That's right. I don't know if you know Martin Fronsman, but this is a Martin Fronsman hymn. It was written in 1967. So you got that one right. Hey, 200 points, Chris, for that, which I think beats Evan's all-time record for this game. So congratulations on that. Hey, could you tell us a little bit about this new album coming out?
Hello Love is what it's called. Hello Love is what it's called, and it comes out September 2nd. Very excited about the songs for the that are there, and I feel like there's lots of songs for the church. Again, I continue to try to write songs that are going to find their way into the church in different ways, in different kinds of churches. I feel like there's a lot for it. Different people and different styles, and very proud of it. Very proud of it. I think it's the best one yet, honestly. As far as just with the songs, the way the songs turned out.
Well, Chris, thank you. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll look forward to seeing this album when it comes out, and maybe keep in touch. It'd be great if we could have you on again, and
thank you, brother.
And hammer out some more of these questions. So thanks a lot.
All right, man. Talk soon.